This is the CBS Evening News. With Dan Rather reporting from CBS News headquarters in New York.
Good evening. Danger. War. Killer. Fraud. CIA. Mayhem. Crisis. Horrible. Inflation. Military threat. Flaming debris. Fatal heart attack.
It would have been tough for anyone to take the mantle from the person once voted most trusted man in America. But though it was hotly contested, Bill Leonard, then head of CBS News, called it for Rather.
I'm delighted to announce that Dan Rather will succeed Walter Cronkite as anchorman and managing editor of the CBS Evening News in early 1981.
I seek to be in the Walter Cronkite mold, in the Admiral mold before him. To the best of my abilities, I want to be an honest broker of information.
Well, let me, I'll just add a word to that. I don't think that with Dan taking over the CBS Evening News, there's any problem of transition.
But despite Cronkite's reassuring words, there may have been a problem or two. At the time, some thought veteran newsman Roger Mudd was the heir apparent, passed over because he wasn't as pretty as Rather. And though Cronkite denies it, there were rumors that Uncle Walter was being rushed into retirement because Rather threatened to switch networks. In that scenario, reminiscent of the film All About Eve, Rather plays a rising star who ruthlessly pushes her mentor out of the way. We don't know about that, but the film's famous quip still works.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
In Dan's case, that night lasted 24 years. He walked off a newscast when it was delayed by a tennis match. He was attacked by a man on Park Avenue who asked, "Kenneth, where is the frequency?" He briefly ended his newscasts with the word courage, causing waggish competitors like Bryant Gumbel to sign off with Mazel Tov and hot dogs. And if you can't remember those bumps in Rather's road, you have only to cast your mind back to the monumental pothole he drove over last September, that 60 Minutes 2 story about the president's dubious National Guard record and those equally dubious memos used to back that story up.
Are those documents authentic, as experts consulted by CBS News continue to maintain? Or were they forgeries or recreations? We will keep an open mind and we will continue to report credible evidence and responsible points of view as we try to answer the questions raised about the authenticity of the documents.
And a week later,
I made a mistake. I didn't dig hard enough, long enough, didn't ask enough of the right questions.
Here was proof positive, or perhaps just the latest in a career-long series of proofs positive, that Dan Rather had a liberal bias. But reporters are people, too, and everyone, with the exception of Jim Lehrer, has some kind of bias. They just try not to let it show. Cronkite rarely did. When he pronounced the Vietnam War unwinnable, the Johnson administration gasped. Despite a few suppressed tears when President Kennedy died, Cronkite was always clear-eyed and steady in the tradition of network newsmen he helped to establish. Dan was different. He let it show. He let everything show. As at the 1968 Democratic Convention in Chicago.
I know you won't, but don't push me. Take your hands off of me unless you plan to arrest me.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Well, Walter, as you can see,
I don't know what's going on, but these are security people apparently around Dan.
And after the Twin Towers fell on September 11th, 2001.
If they could go down to ground zero and see the following, see those firemen? Take his breath, will you?
He was emotional, excitable, occasionally obnoxious. Even when confronting famously combative presidents like Richard Nixon, he just couldn't put a sock in it.
Thank you, Mr. President. Dan Rather with CBS News.
Are you running for something?
No, sir, Mr. President, are you?
He didn't like Nixon. We know that. There was hardly anything about Dan Rather we didn't know if we watched regularly, and millions did. He was a bit of a loon, especially on election night. Oh, those Ratherisms.
You'd have to say this thing is as tight as the rusted lug nuts on a 55 Ford.
As he explained to David Letterman.
I grew up around people who talk this way.
Oh, I see. So all of these are you just recall them from your experience?
Yeah, and during the year, if I hear something that I say to myself, you know, that's colorful language, and I think I could use it election night.
I never met anyone who talked like that, but I believe him when he says he did. Rather is believable because he is so raw. The first and only extreme anchor in network news. In a time when journalists are suspected of secretly harboring opinions, Rather, consciously or not, goes with full disclosure. In an era when anchors are processed and poured into a mold like Velveeta, Rather is pungent and runny. He hyped and sentimentalized coverage, but I do not agree with the critics who say that Dan Rather, in all his discombobulated liberalness, compromised the integrity of network news. If anything sinks that once great institution, it won't be leftiness or even craziness. It'll be cowardice. Come to think of it, 18 years ago, when Rather intoned courage at the end of his newscasts, maybe he wasn't talking to us.